بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى ابن عمه علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى الصفوة الخيرة من أصحابه المنتجبين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر، سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. صدق الله العلي العظيم. It's the most blessed and the most honorable night throughout the whole year. It is a night of paramount sublimity and superiority. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر, superior to 1,000 month in its spiritual value. This is Laylatul Qadr, my friends. This is a night where our livelihood and our lifespan is going to be determined by the Lord during this night, from sunset until dawn. Our livelihood, ليلة تقدر فيها الآجال والأرزاق. The livelihood and the lifespan. And whatever important is going to happen to you is going to be determined. In one of the chapters we read tonight, this chapter is called Surah Al-Dukhan. In this surah, God says, فيها يفرق. In this night, the night of Qadr, we determine. In this night, we determine, فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. Every important matter that touches your life and your future is going to be decided and determined tonight. فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين رحمة من ربك. رحمة من ربك إنه هو السميع عليم. Tonight is the night of mass and wholesale mercy, the night of sweeping and extensive mercy of God. He loves to bestow His mercy. He has a huge reserve of mercy that He wants to spend tonight. He wants to bring down His mercy upon us tonight. He is determined, my friends, to engulf us and embrace us with His mercy and His forgiveness in this night. This night has innumerable, endless, and countless bounties and gifts. So be one of those lucky ones who are going to receive some of these gifts. Do not leave the session. Do not let the sun rise tonight, today, or tomorrow morning without being one of the chosen ones, one of the selected ones, one of those fortunate enough to receive God's mercy tonight. And that depends on you, my friends. God never discriminates between His people. God never has bias against any people. God is the Lord of the universe. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the entire universe. It is us. The choice has been left for us to decide whether we really need accept his mercy and his bounties or we reject them. This is our choice tonight. One of the meanings of Salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr. This night is peaceful. Salamun hiya. It's a peaceful until the break of the dawn. One of the meanings of this section, of this sentence in the Quran, is that the angels, they from sunset of this night till the break of the dawn, they continuously greet and salute صاحب العصر والزمان عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. This night is continuing after the Prophet. The Prophet himself says, the angels would not descend only upon the Prophet during his lifetime. When the Prophet dies, the angels are going to continue their descent. تَتَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Those of you who are many in this session who are familiar with the Arabic grammar and Arabic literature, تَتَنَزَّل is continuous. This process is continuing until the Day of Judgment. So in the absence of the Prophet himself, his successors, the Imams, the 12 Imams, the angels are going to descend on them, and they descended on them. And tonight they descend upon the 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi Al-Muntadhar, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Al-Sharif. And they show him. He's the representative of the divine in this earth, on this earth, in this universe. They show him what will happen to us. This is why it is imperative for us to salute the Imam and to pray for him, so God would hasten his reappearance. Today, the whole globe, the entire earth, is overwhelmed with injustice and tyranny. And the only one who can bring real peace, real stability, and real justice is the 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi Al-Muntadhar, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Al-Sharif. My friends, tonight God, as I said, has a huge reserve of mercy saved for us. And he wants to dispose this tonight. He wants to bring it tonight. So be one of those who can receive. And never have any doubt about God's forgiveness. Never speculate. Never have a second guess about God's forgiveness. God himself, he says in chapter 39, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O Prophet, say to your community, say to the Muslims, say to mankind, say to them, O my servants, who did an extravagant of abuse, excessiveness of abuse against their own souls, do not be despondent of God's mercy. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. For God, inna Allah, verily, He forgives all sins, if you are willing and if you are sincere. No sin is going to be left out. God has opened His arms to receive you, to welcome you, to embrace you, to bring you back to His sanctuary. So do not hesitate and do not have a doubt. Never have a doubt about God's mercy. This is what we say in the dua. We say, no matter how the sin is huge and gruesome, God's mercy is bigger. Allahumma inna rahmataka arja min amali. Your mercy is more promising than my deeds. وَإِنَّ عَفْوَكَ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ ذَنْبِي. Your forgiveness is bigger than my sin. اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ ذَنْبِي عِنْدَكَ عَظِيمًا فَعَفْوُكَ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ ذَنْبِي. اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ لَمْ أَكُنْ أَهْلًا أَنْ أَبْلُغَ رَحْمَتَكَ فَرَحْمَتُكَ أَهْلٌ أَنْ تَبْلُغَنِي وَتَسَعَنِي لِأَنَّهَا وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Oh God, if I am not qualified, if I am not qualified to receive your mercy is qualified to embrace me and to reach out to me. What do we recite in Dua Kumail? Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. The first sentence we begin the dua. This is the very first sentence. Our commander, our leader, the student of the Prophet, the servant of the Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, this is the way he teaches us to speak to God. We begin with his mercy, because his mercy embraces everything in this universe. Nothing is excluded from God's mercy. He says himself in chapter 6, Surah Al-An'am, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا. Once those who have faith in God and a trust in God, they come to you, O the Messenger of God, say to them, فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Greet them, receive them, send peace upon them. فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Your Lord has prescribed mercy upon himself. This is very powerful, my friends. God would never prescribe anything upon himself. He's free. He can do anything he wants to do. But he said, I made it mandatory upon myself. I made it mandatory upon myself that I bestow mercy on mankind. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ أَنَّهُ. Verily, مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةِ. Any one of you does evil out of ignorance, not out of defiance, out of ignorance. If he does evil out of ignorance, ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Then he or she repents after that, وَأَصْلَحْ, and mends, or amends, فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Yes. Tonight is the night when you fix it, fix the broken relationship. Tonight is the night of forgiveness. Tonight is the night of repentance. And tonight is the night that you have to make this a pledge and this a promise. I would never go back to the same sin, neither any other sin, God. I will maintain my relationship with you. I'll make it the best. I'll get closer to you as much as I can. I would not get far away from you. I would not disobey you. ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Truly your Lord is forgiving and merciful. فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. I have a story that I'm not going to share the whole story with you, because this story is so horrendous, so appalling, so gruesome, terrifying, this story. It gives me goosebumps when I read this story, or even when I remember it. Every time I remember it, I get terrified. It's very disgusting. I can't mention the whole story, but the story is mentioned in the books of history and the books of tafsir. A terrible, terrible crime took place during the time of the Prophet in the city of Medina by a young person who was single, who was non-married. His job was very weird, very sick. He used to go to cemeteries. When they bury the dead ones, he would raid the cemetery the same night. He will excavate the grave. He will take the shroud, the coffin, out of the body of the dead ones. And he will go and resell it in the market. Very terrible thing. Very sick. His neighbor knew. She was terminally ill. She was about to die. And she was young. She sent after him. She said to him, I know what you have been doing for so many years, but I kept it secret. I didn't share this because you are my neighbor. I know where you go. I know what you do. So I have purchased, I'm going to die soon. I've purchased many coffins, not one or two. Choose anyone. Promise me, when I die, you don't come to my grave. He said, okay, of course, sure, I would not. So he promised her, and he took all the kafans. When she died, he decided in the beginning not to go, but Satan is stronger. When we cannot maintain our faith, when we don't have good prayers and good fasting and good deeds, this is, we become weak. Satan is able to approach us and deceive us. So he came to him and he said to him, tonight is your night. Go. Nobody knows. She's dead. I know you gave her your word, but she's dead. She doesn't understand. And he kept telling him until this young man left his house to the cemetery. And he went to the grave. He knew the grave because he participated in the funeral during the day. He was among people who went to the cemetery for her funeral. He knew the grave. He opened the grave. He took the kafan. Not only that, he did the shameful act with her because she was naked in her body, in her grave. Once he did this, of course, Shaitan, he will come and encourages you. Until the moment you commit the sin, the Shaitan is going to abandon you immediately. Immediately. Shaitan stands with you and he wants you to commit the sin. And he promises you it would be easy, don't worry, you will repent, I'm helping you. The moment you commit that sin, he runs away from you. And this is exactly what Satan did to him. He abandoned him. This young man, he went crazy. He was thinking of killing himself and committing suicide. He could not sleep the nights until one day he decided that he has to tell the Prophet about this. He went to the mosque of the Prophet. While the Prophet was sitting with his companions and his community, he came to the Prophet. He could not even speak about it. But he was telling the Prophet, my sin is very shameful, is very terrible, is very horrible. I cannot even speak it. The Prophet said to him, ذَنْبُكَ أَعْظَمْ أَمِ السَّمَاوَاتِ. He said, my sin is greater than the heaven. ذَنْبُكَ أَعْظَمْ أَمِ الْأَرَضُونَ. He said, my sin is greater than the entire earth. ذَنْبُكَ أَعْظَمْ أَمِ الْبِحَارِ. He said, my sin is greater than the oceans. Then the Prophet said to him, ذَنْبُكَ أَعْظَمْ أَمْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Is your sin greater or the mercy of God? Here, he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ بَلْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ أَعْظَمْ. No, I can't say my sin is greater than God's mercy. God's mercy is greater. And he told the Prophet his sin. The Prophet was shocked. Imagine the Prophet, whose mercy for mankind is very strong. When he told him about this sin, the Prophet was shocked. The Prophet said to him, stop, stop, don't continue. I don't want to hear this. The man took to the mountains. He left the mosque, not knowing where to go. He came to the Prophet, whose the Quran says about him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And now the Prophet tells him, stop! I can't hear this! So he took to the mountains of Medina. Medina is surrounded by mountains. And for 40 days, he was in the mountain. He was speaking to God and repenting. At day number 40, Allah sends Jibreel to the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulallah, God greets you. And he says, this man, young man who came to you, though his crime is so huge and unspeakable, but after 40 days, he was sincere. He was sincere in his repentance. And God says, you have to go and bring him and tell him the good news that God had forgiven him. The Prophet asked about his location. Jibreel said, Ya Rasulallah, you have to ask about the location yourself and you search for him. So the Prophet asked the companions about him and they were going from mountain, one mountain into another until they found him. He had chained himself And he was there. He completely changed. He was completely dark because of the sun. Dehydration, no food, no drink. In that remote area, the Prophet said to him, "Fulan, I am coming with good news from your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has answered your prayers after 40 days and nights of repentance, of being sorry, regretting what you did, and going back to your Lord. Ultimately, God has accepted your repentance." So he raised his head. He said, "Ya Rasulallah, do me a favor, please. Since God has forgiven me, I need one more favor from God. Ask God to take my life to him. I don't want to come back to the city anymore. I don't want to renew a sin since I have a clean record now and God has forgiven me." He went to sujood. The Prophet raised his hand. This young man, while he was doing the prostration, the sujood, he died during his sujood. This is exactly what God says in the Quran. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Whatever terrible act you have committed, do not give up on God's mercy and God's forgiveness. Tonight is Laylatul Qadr, the night where God reaching out to you. He's coming to you. He's asking you to speak to him, to share with him. Not to tell your sin to anyone, but to God. Share it with God and ask him his mercy. My friends, nobody is infallible. We are all sinners because we are human beings. And sometimes a moment, I call it a moment of power outage. Power outage. Darkness. Ghafla. The Quran says ghafla. He calls this moment the moment of ghafla, disconnection from God. How does that happen? How do we commit a sin, knowing that this is a sin, this is bad, this is terrible? You know what happens? At the time when the desire is in control, when the desire becomes in control, then it would knock down reason, the intellectual power. Aql is being overridden, or desire overrides and overcomes the aql, the reason. So you don't understand, you don't think, you are not reasonable, you are not yourself in that moment. You fell victim to the Satan's temptations. How do you keep your aql strong? Do you know how? When you recite this book. When you are always familiar with this book, not just in the month of Ramadan. Always. Always. This book is with you. This book is next to your desk, next to your bed. This book is always with you. You carry this book in your heart and your mind. You fall in love with this book, with the Holy Quran. When you recite the Holy Quran, when you recite the du'as, some of these du'as we're going to recite tonight, they have very deep meanings. Du'a'u al-Jawshan al-Kabir. Du'a'u Abi Hamza al-Thamali. When you recite these du'as, they keep your brain and your reason healthy. So you don't fall victim to temptations and desires. The prayers, someone was asking me why 5 times a day. 5 times a day, to keep your reason healthy and strong, so you don't become weak. Once you become weak, then that is the power outage. That is the failure of the system. That is where the shaitan, it would be so easy for him to strike on you and destroys you. So maintain your health, your mental health. بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. And also, my friends, keep your reason healthy by especially the young generation. Staying away from intoxicants. Staying away from destructive substances. Staying away from drugs. staying away from alcohol, staying away from smoking. Keep your reason, your aql, healthy. Do not intoxicate your aql. Your aql is the one who's going to keep you strong, straightforward, and righteous. Do not compromise your aql. Anything that compromises your reason, stay away from it. Stay away from it. What do we ask God tonight? Tonight is the night of dua. It's the night where you raise your petitions to God. It's the night where you say, oh God, give me this and give me that. Look at chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 200 in this book. 200 through 202. One of the most beautiful verses in the Quran. Quran teaches us what to ask God tonight. What should we ask Him? What are the priorities? We learn that from the Quran. We learn adabul du'a, the manners, the etiquettes of supplication from the Quran itself. The Quran says we have two groups of people in this life. Both of them pray. But look at the difference between them. Look at the difference between the first group and the second group. The first group says, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَقٍ. The first group only asks God about this life, this temporary life. Only material items. Only material items. Like kids, 2 years old, 3 years old, they go to a man who has boxes of, you know, money in front of him, billions of dollars in front of him. And those kids, little kids, they go to him, they say, Ammu, please, can you give us some candies? They ask for some candies, which is only a few pennies. They don't ask for billions of dollars, because they don't understand. Kids, they understand the value of candies. They don't understand the value of real money. We do the same. Sometimes we ask God about some candies. We leave the real substance, the real gift, we leave it behind. We forget about it. We ask about some candies. And this is what exactly God says in the Quran. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَقٍ. They ask about some material thing. Oh God, I need, my car is broken. I need another car. Oh God, I need this house, this apartment, this. But they forget about the real questions, real needs in this life. Maybe God will give you a new car, but it would not solve your problem, believe me. Maybe God will give you a mansion. It would not solve your problem. Maybe God gives you several million dollars, still would not solve your problem. The second group, listen to the Quran. Quran says, وَمِنْهُمْ, the second group, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The first group, they asked about the dunya, but not the goodness of the dunya. See, it didn't say حَسَنَة in the first group. But the second group, آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَة. What does that mean? They are asking still for material things, but material things that leads into goodness and success. They don't just say, God, give me money. They say, God, give me the money that works for me, not against me. Money that I can benefit and excel from it, not the money that I will destroy myself with it. I've seen some people, they did not ruin their life through poverty. They ruined their life when they were rich, when they got the money. The day they did not have money, their life was good. They were satisfied. The day they started making money, they started going into the wrong direction. Shaitan would not leave them. Atina fi dunya hasana means, whatever you want to give me, material things, they should help me, prepare me for my next trip, next journey to the Akhirah. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا. Definitely, if these items are good and lawful that you acquire them and you ask for them, these items are going to send you in the right direction. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا. And ultimately, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Avert us the punishment of the hellfire. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. God says, definitely we will grant them. So tonight, there are certain small issues that you have to ask, but worthy and important, such as, this is the first group, ask God for good health. Why good health? To continue serving, to continue helping, to continue reaching out to your parents, to your community members, to those who are poor. Ask Him good health. Ask Him money. But the money that becomes a source of a blessing, not curse. What sort of money becomes the source of a blessing? The money that comes from halal, lawful source. Not the money that becomes from haram source. The money that becomes from haram source would not bring stability into your family. It would not bring peace into your home. It would not bring peace into your corporation and company and jobs. I was shocked when the president 2 days ago, he said, I made my first trip to the Middle East, to Saudi Arabia, and I signed contracts for $510 billion. Why? To bring jobs, jobs, jobs. But I wonder, the job that is created from selling weapons to some people to kill each other, would that job be a source of a blessing for us? You answer the question. I am worried about America under this president. Not any job is a good job. Not the money that you make at the expense of the suffering and the pain of others. This is not a good job. Not when you sell weapons for neighbors to kill each other and bomb each other. This is not a good job. This is not a good business, believe me. He thinks this is a good business. Why? Because he only looks, as the Quran says, مِنْهُمْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Only give me material. But he doesn't look at the bigger picture. Because sometimes this material that you are getting, it would be the source and the reason of damnation for you. Ask God to give you a job which is not at the expense of others. The job where you really bring relief and happiness, not weapons, not airplanes to bomb. No, this is not a good job. I don't believe in this job. I don't believe in this economy. I believe in the economy that is connected to goodness and purity. A good economy is the economy that brings real stability and real peace and real happiness. An economy that feeds the hungry stomachs. Economy that builds schools and hospitals and orphanages. Not weapons. So ask Allah tonight. Ask Him, yes, I need wealth. I need money to build myself, to build my family, to build my community, to reach out to others. I don't want my money to be the source of destruction, the source of suffering, the source of war or conflict. Then again ask Allah tonight. And I see many faces right in front of me who are still single. And you must ask God to find you a good spouse, not just a spouse. Don't just ask Him that you get married. Tell Him, I want good marriage, righteous marriage. God, send me someone who's righteous. Number one. Number one, equality of that person, be it a husband or a wife, who is righteous, who loves you, who reveres you, who respects you. Before he respects me as an individual, he respects God. Because once he respects God, definitely he's going to respect me. So ask Allah, زوج صالح, زوجة صالحة, righteous partner that brings happiness to you and gets you closer to the Lord. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, when you have good marriage, again ask Him to have good children. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً. Who knows the verse in the Quran? هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ. This is biblical story. In Surah Maryam, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً. ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً. Again, I don't need any children. I need good children, righteous children. Children who are obedient to God. Children who are conscious of God. They respect God. Not children that I run after them in the streets, who give me more pain and more trouble. Dhurriyatan tayyiba. Ask God tonight. And ask Him success in your job, in your school, in your life, in your business. This is the first part of it. Now we come to the real demands. The first one, these were the appetizers. Easy. God would answer them. Now, you know what you ask God? These are the grand, the cardinal demands that we ask God. Ask things that are faithful to you, momentous to you, consequential to you, to your life. The first thing, ask God tonight, ask Him to change your heart and your nafs, your soul, to be a better servant of God, to be the better abd lillah, true servant, true slave of God. Because the Quran says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Indeed, the real success is when you change your soul, when you keep your soul under control, when you curb your desires. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. When you purify your soul. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. The one who neglects his soul, or he gives in to the temptations, is خَاب. خَاب means disappointment and failure. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get closer to Him. The wife of Pharaoh, she was living in the best palace in Egypt, in ancient Egypt. Best palace, best mansion that overlooks the Nile River. She had thousands of maids and servants. She was the wife of the emperor. But still she said to God, I don't like this life. No, this is not my dream. This is not my ambition. They asked her, what is your ambition? She said, قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I want to be your neighbor. I want you, God. You, these things would not fill my heart. You fill my heart. Your presence in my heart. You bring me real satisfaction. قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Let's ask Allah to bestow on us a nafs, a soul that is number one, content. قَنَاعَة. We are content and happy with what I have. Whether it is material, immaterial, family, whatever I have, I'm happy with it. I'm satisfied with it. Let God curb the greed. Keep myself away, my soul away from greed, from jealousy, from hate. Tonight, my friends, when you pray, not just to pray for yourself. You know what our Imam teach us to do tonight? They say when you pray, pray for your enemies too. Pray for their guidance. Pray for their salvation. If they are doing something terrible, pray that they will stop it. They would quit that. Pray for them. You have to ascend above these temptations. You have to have a bigger soul, bigger vision tonight. Ask Allah to install love, real love in your heart. Not just love for friends and family members, but love also for your enemies. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away بخل, greed, stinginess out of your heart. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take prejudice out of your heart. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take hubbun nafs, ego, self-centeredness out of your heart. So you start loving people around you. These are the questions we have to ask. These are the real du'as. These du'as make real difference in your life. If you just ask him for a house and money and a job, you leave this room tonight, you leave this mosque, you are the same. Believe me, you are the same. And God says, I might give them to you. You know, I might give them. But you are not happy. You are still not happy. But when the soul is changed, our perception is changed, that is the real happiness. That is the real success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Ask Allah to give you the capacity for more forgiveness, so you can forgive those who insulted you, those who wronged you. Tell him, oh God, please give me that capacity, that faculty, that energy, that I overcome and break away from whatever I have in my heart against my enemies too. I don't want even to hate my enemies. I don't want to hate them. I want to forgive them. And if they have done something wrong, there is a day of judgment. You are the judge there. You are the ultimate judge. They can't get away from it. This is how we make change. And ask God also, Allahumma inni, this is in dua Abu Hamza al-Thamali at the end of the dua. Tell him, oh Allah, keep me away from laziness. I don't want to be lazy. I want to be a hard-working, positive person, optimistic, full of energy every single morning when I open my eyes. I have lots of energy to serve, to help, to move forward. Keep depression away from me. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasali. Kasal means laziness. Wal-fashal, failure. Wal-ham. Ham, anxiety. Keep anxiety away from me. Anxiety destroys me. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be worried. I don't want to fear anything. Walhammi, waljubni, cowardness. Walbukhli, stinginess. Walghaflati. Ghafla, I mentioned the meaning of ghafla. Power outage. Forgetfulness, when I forget about you. When my heart is disconnected with you, this is ghafla. وَالْغَفْلَةِ وَالْقَسْوَةِ قَسْوَةِ violence. I want to have a tender heart. A heart that feels for any tragedy, for any person, for any homeless that I see, I rush to help him or her. Anyone who says help, I'll be the first responder. I'll go there. This is my duty. وَالْقَسْوَةِ وَالْمَسْكَنَةِ poverty, وَالْفَقْرِ deprivation, وَالْفَاقَةِ وَمِنْ كُلِّ بَلِيَّ every bad evil, I seek refuge in you. These are the du'as that we have to make tonight. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min nafsin la tashba' wa min qalbin la yakhsha. Give me satisfaction. Even if I have little food, small place, even my car is not brand new, but I'm happy with it. Because I always look at those who are below me, not those who are above me. This morning at 5 a.m., I read the LA Times every day after morning prayers, after Salatul Fajr, the electronic version. There is a story, check it out, very interesting. Someone who is a multimillionaire here in Beverly Hills, and he has the largest collection of sport cars, expensive cars. He says the value of these cars is about $50 million. And he collects Lamborghinis. And he wanted to purchase another model, a better model, convertible Lamborghini. The company said, no, we don't sell you. You are not qualified. Imagine he's a multimillionaire. Because they make only 80, and they give them to people who say, the company says they deserve it. Now, how they deserve it, I really don't know. Because they have piety, more taqwa, they pray more, I don't know. And this guy, who has a fortune, who has millions of dollars, millions of dollars. Only one company is worth $300 million, one of his companies, $300 million. He's feeling bad. Imagine, he has some 50 fancy car in his garage, downstairs in the basement, and still he feels bad because he could not get this new Lamborghini. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? If you have a greed, I'm not talking ill about him because I don't know him. But I say, when you have a greed, nothing can fill your stomach. Nothing. But once you have satisfaction, even if your car is a broken old car, you say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. At least I have some means of transportation. Others even do not have this. See? اللهم إني أعوذ بك من نفس لا تشبع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن علم لا ينفع ومن صلاة لا ترفع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. Oh God, I seek refuge in you from a soul that is greedy. Whatever you give to it, it says I need more and more and more. Stay away from that. Ask God. Ask God tonight to give you a soul, nafs, which is always happy, which is always grateful, always grateful. I mentioned this yesterday in the Friday prayers. In this life, we have two categories. They are mentioned in Surah Al-Insan. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Two categories. One of them are grateful, shakir, happy, thankful. The other always complaining, always unhappy, always nagging, always they need more and more and more. Imma shakiran wa imma kafura. Ask God to make you from the first group, shakir, grateful. Before I conclude, and ask, as Imam Zainul Abideen says in Dua Abu Hamza, make it brief in one sentence. Ask Allah, says, إِلَهِ أَخْرِجْ حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ قَلْبِي. Take out of my heart the fascination with this dunya. Fascination is very dangerous. When you become fascinated with materialism, this is very dangerous. You know why? Because someone who's fascinated with the dunya, he would even sell his parents cheap. He would sell his wife, he would sell his children, he would sell his country. Because he's enchanted with the dunya. He's fascinated with the dunya. So ask God to take hubbu dunya, the fascination with this dunya, out of your heart. Keep your heart healthy and strong. Pray for your parents. Tomorrow is the Father's Day. All of you have fathers here. Many of them are still alive. If you want to send a gift, put it on hold. Put it on hold. Don't purchase it. You know what is the best gift you give to your father? Respect and obedience. Don't go and buy him flowers or chocolate or something and then you think he's happy. Your father is happy when you respect him. When you spend time with your father. When your father advises you on a good issue and you listen. You have a listening ears. This is the best gift you give to your father on Father's Day, tomorrow, Sunday. Tell your father, Daddy, this season, this Father's Day, I did not bring material, I did not bring flowers, but I'm going to promise you that I'm going to respect you and spend time with you and listen to your advice. That is the best gift. And also pray for those who are deceased. Pray for those who are sick in the hospitals, and there are many of them. There are some of them who are very dear to us. Every night they are here in this masjid. This year they are in the hospitals, waiting for their fate, waiting for the mercy of the Lord. Pray for them tonight. Pray for your family, for your teachers, for your children, for your neighbors. Pray for the poor. Pray for the refugees. The number of refugees is on the rise in the Muslim countries. Pray for them. Pray for those who have been displaced from their homes. Many people, they had homes until 5 days ago. You know that tower which burnt out in London? I was reading in the paper, the number of the casualties are 90 people they burned to death in the middle of the fire, in the middle of the night, within a few minutes. I was reading a story of one of them, 3 Syrian refugees. 2 of them were able to escape. The 3rd one, when he was about to come down and escape, the stairs collapsed, so he could not go. So he was speaking to his brothers on the cell phone. His brother said, the last sentence he said, "Give my salam to my mother. Tell her I love you. And please always recite Quran for me when I die." They say a few seconds later, the phone went out and he burned. A young man who escaped Syria, who escaped war in Syria, only to find his fate in West London. This is life, my friends. This is the reality of this life. Nothing is guaranteed, believe me. Nothing is guaranteed. When the ajal comes, this is why I ask Allah that you fulfill your mission in this life, you fulfill it, and then if He wants, God decides to take you away to Him, He is welcome to do so. But you have to fulfill your mission in this life. And I pray for those who are lost. I don't mean only physically lost, but morally and spiritually lost. We have many in the community, Muslim community and non-Muslim, who are confused, who cannot find their way. They go in the wrong direction. They bring misfortune to themselves and to their families. Pray for them. Pray for their guidance. Pray that God would hold their hands tonight and bring them back and salvage them. Pray for yourself to be successful in the Akhirah. And God will grant you tonight immunity against hellfire and releases you from the hellfire. Allahumma a'tiq riqabana minan nar. That is the best dua. The Quran says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازِ. If you can escape, if you can narrowly escape the pit of fire and you make it inside paradise, that is real success. فَقَدْ فَازِ. That is real success. That is real salvation. Pray, if you are a father, pray that God makes you the best father, the best dutiful father, the best responsible father. Tomorrow, Father's Day, in America and elsewhere, they think Father's Day, we just eat cake and we celebrate and we dance. Father's Day, it means that we fathers have to be more responsible towards our children. Mother's Day means mothers have to be more responsible towards their children. Ask your God to make you a model father, not just father, a model father in the community. This is the wish of the prophets. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. If you are a mother, ask God to make you a model mother, a model in compassion and care and mercy. If you are a son, ask God to make you a model son in your dutifulness and respect to your parents. Be the jewel in your community to rush to help your parents. Be number one. Even if you are 10 brothers and sisters, you have to be number one in serving your parents. Even if your parents are away from you, you still can serve them by calling them and helping them and visiting them and inviting them and see what they need. Ask your mother, your dad what they need and be the first one to fulfill their needs. And pray for them. That is the best service to the parents, is when you remember them in your prayers. And last but not least, that is the most important dua tonight. Guess what is it? Ask Allah to hasten the reappearance of our Imam. يُعَجِّلْ فَرَجَ الْإِمَامِ عَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجَهُ. To hasten his return. We need a leader. In the dua, of the dua that we recite, not dua al-faraj, the dua just Samira Miri was reciting, iftitah, Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqda nabiyyina صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا. We are fatherless. We are leaderless. This is why we are in disarray. This is why we need a commander. We need a leader. We need an imam. And as long as we commit sins, that it is going to be delayed and delayed and delayed. It depends on us. We want him to come back. Look at yourself. Fix yourself. Repent from your sins. Change yourself. Transform yourself. The imam is going to be ready. Allah says, I put it conditional on you. If you are ready for him, I will send him tonight. If not, don't ask me to send him, because it would be a waste of time. Waste of time. He would not even find supporters or helpers. Let's prepare for tonight. Before I conclude, most likely the Eid is going to be on Sunday the 25th, my brothers and sisters. Most likely. Follow us through the website and the emails that we send. And we're going to inform you by Saturday, inshallah. By Saturday night, we're going to inform you. If the Eid is Sunday, then Salatul Eid is going, the first Salat is going to be here at 8 a.m. in the morning, inside and outside. And Zakatul Fitr, which is mandatory. Zakatul Fitr is mandatory on the day of Eid to be given to the poor and the needy. Poor, someone who cannot make the budget of the year. Someone who needs, with his family, $50,000, he or she would make $40,000, $45,000 a year. That person deserves Zakatul Fitr. It is $15 per person. So a family of five would pay $75. That is $15 per person. The breadwinner of the family should pay that amount. The breadwinner, if the husband, the father is the breadwinner, he would take care of it. If the mother is a breadwinner, sorry to say that, then she has to pay that, inshallah. So it depends on you, whether you want to be breadwinner or consumer only. And then, inshallah, we have this summer retreat for our youth, where we teach them all these good values. It's going to be from July 6th until July 9th, inshallah. Not far from here, I think in the Lake Arrowhead area. So please encourage them. And also on July 9th, we're going to have the Eid picnic, inshallah, at this park here, which is George Mason, I believe. George Mason, William Mason Regional Park, which is July 9th. You can see the flyer outside. Let me conclude with another dua, where I want you to stand this time out of respect for our 12 imam. Please, I want you to stand, come forward, and let's recite this dua for him. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد